Chapter 3. Looking into the Brain. The Neuroscience Revolution. If we could look through the skull into the brain of a consciously thinking person, and if the place of optimal excitability were luminous, then we should see playing over the cerebral surface a bright spot with fantastic, waving borders, constantly fluctuating in size and form, and surrounded by darkness, more or less deep, covering the rest of the hemisphere. Ivan Pavlov. You observe a lot by watching. Yogi Berra. In the early 1990s, novel brain imaging techniques opened up undreamed-of capacities to gain a sophisticated understanding about the way the brain processes information. Gigantic multi-million-dollar machines based on advanced physics and computer technology rapidly made neuroscience into one of the most popular areas for research. Positron emission tomography, known as PET, and later functional magnetic resonance imaging, known as fMRI, enabled scientists to visualize how different parts of the brain are activated when people are engaged in certain tasks or when they remember events from the past. For the first time, we could watch the brain as it processed memories, sensations, and emotions, and began to map the circuits of mind and consciousness. The earlier technology of measuring brain chemicals like serotonin or norepinephrine had enabled scientists to look at what fueled neural activity, which is a bit like trying to understand a car's engine by studying gasoline. Neuroimaging made it possible to see inside the engine. By doing so, it has also transformed our understanding of trauma. Harvard Medical School was and is at the forefront of the neuroscience revolution, and in 1994, a young psychiatrist, Scott Rauch, was appointed as the first director of the Massachusetts General Hospital Neuroimaging Laboratory. After considering the most relevant questions that this new technology could answer and reading some articles I had written, Scott asked me whether I thought we could study what happens in the brains of people who have flashbacks. I had just finished a study on how trauma is remembered, which I'll be talking about in Chapter 12, in which participants repeatedly told me how upsetting it was to be suddenly hijacked by images, feelings, and sounds from the past. When several said they wished they knew what trick their brains were playing on them during these flashbacks, I asked 8 of them if they would be willing to return to the clinic and lie still inside a scanner, an entirely new experience that I described in detail, while we recreated a scene from the painful events that haunted them. To my surprise, all 8 agreed, many of them expressing their hope that what we learned from their suffering could help other people.